Open your Bibles with me to Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. I miss seeing Brother Henry Mahan. I was looking so forward to seeing him, but it's so wonderful to see Doris. But tell y'all a true story. When I first met Brother Henry, I was sitting in front of his desk, and me and Tommy Robbins together. I was in a meeting up in Chapmansville, West Virginia. And we drove down, and it was in October. And we went down to visit Henry. And I'd met him once before when I was somewhere, and we went in just to meet him because I didn't know he was still alive. And somebody told me, yeah, he's got a church right over here in Ashland on 13th Street, and I was in Portsmouth, Ohio, and so we drove over there, and I met him the first time. And he called me Chubby, and he handed me a book by Horatius Bonar called God's Way of Peace. He said, you read that, and you'll learn the gospel. So I took it home and read it, and then I was back up there, and he said, now I want this back because this is a leather-bound copy, real nice copy. But anyway, went down there that October, and I remember sitting in front of his desk, and we was talking, and I said, I know it's the grace of God or the gospel soaked in our tears. Henry leaned across that desk and said, no, it's just the gospel whether you ever shed a tear or not. And he says, you can't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Either you're going to preach grace or you're going to preach works. He says, you're going to have to. Can't peek out of both sides of your mouth. Man, I'm telling you what that. And I bless the day that he told me that. Mm-hmm. I could not tell you how many times over the years I thank God for that day. Because I'd have just went ahead and mixed it up. But God used Henry that day. And he came down and preached for us a few months later. And I found a picture the other day. The first meeting he was in at our place, sitting in a chair. Where the doors, you know, everything's changed there now. But he was, I remember that. He was young and black-headed, a lot younger than I am now. But, thank God for men who are honest and true. And you know, he told me the truth whether he'd ever saw me again or not. And I bless God for that. Well, let me read four verses of Scripture here. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying all ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sin, gave Himself for, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. The title of my message this morning is Grace, Our Schoolmaster. Grace, Our Schoolmaster. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us. Teaches us something. The grace of God teaches us something. And here we're standing between the two appearings of our Lord Jesus Christ. His first appearing in verse 11, for the grace of God hath appeared. Where did the grace of God appear at? It appeared in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law came by Moses. And his second appearing there in verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Standing between his first appearing, looking forward to his second appearing, standing between these two glorious appearings of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have been made to know him and what he accomplished in his first appearing, then you've got a blessed hope looking for the second appearing. And now you are looking for it too. You're looking for the Lord to come. And this grace teaches us something. It's a schoolmaster. The Scripture said in Galatians that the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to faith in Christ. It taught us that there's no hope in the law, no hope in what Moses taught, no hope in self-righteousness, no hope in merit or works. It taught us that the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to faith in Christ and shut us up to faith in Christ. And afflictions. God sends afflictions and trials. And these afflictions and trials are our schoolmaster. They're schoolmasters too, to teach us to trust our Lord Jesus Christ whatever happens in this world. And I tell you, He takes us sometimes through things that we think we'll never get through, but we always get through. His grace has always been sufficient. He's always upheld us. He's been our comfort and our stay. And He's been our light in our darkest hours. But I tell you, the afflictions are and trials are our schoolmaster to teach us to trust Him and to teach us to have no confidence in this flesh. None whatsoever in this flesh. And it also teaches us how frail we really are. Oh, how frail we are. Oh, listen, God tells us, you know, that the Lord pitieth us as the Father pitieth His children, for He knoweth our frame, that we are but dust. Dust. But I want to look at this grace being our schoolmaster, teaching us some things. And look what it says in verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation appeared. It appeared. The grace of God appeared. And it's a revelation. When it talks about appearing, the grace of God is a revelation. If you know anything about grace, grace has to appear. It has to come to where you are. You can't go where it's at. It's got to come to where you are. And our Lord Jesus Christ Himself is a revelation. It's a revelation. Light comes and shines in a dark place. And I know this, that men can understand philosophy. They can go and they can understand philosophy and take philosophy classes. And men can understand worldly wisdom. They can understand how to get along in this world. There's a man we know, and we've known him for years, and he says the only reason he goes to the church he goes to is because of the social contacts and business contacts that he makes there. Everybody that's anybody, that's where they go. So they have, men know worldly wisdom. They understand worldly wisdom. And I tell you, men can understand fatalism. They can understand fatalism. That there's no wisdom but what happens in this world. And no wisdom in the grace of God working in this world. No creation behind anything that happens in this world. And men can understand free willism. And they can understand works. But man cannot understand the grace of God without a revelation from God Himself. Now that's the way it is. And I tell you, the grace of God hath appeared. It appeared through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a revelation. I mean, man, I know this has happened to you. You got frustrated. You say, why in the world can't they see that? Why in the world can't they understand that? Why in the world don't they get it? Same reason you did until God taught you. Same reason you did until God taught you. And I tell you, the grace of God appeared. And you know, it appeared in a glorious, glorious way. It appeared in the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, grace was always been the way of salvation. Grace has always been the way God has saved His people. But grace was seen in the Old Testament. The first time you see grace mentioned, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And what happened when Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord? God prepared a way to save him and his house. And that grace that appeared to him, everybody, he was like everybody else. The whole world lied in wickedness. The whole world, the thoughts of man's mind was only evil continually. And God says, Noah, I'm going to give you grace. And Noah, you're going to preach righteousness. And Noah, I'm going to tell you how to prepare an ark for the salvation of your people. That was the grace of God. And grace appeared in the Old Testament. And grace appeared when Abraham and Isaac started up that mountain. Say, I and the lad are going up there to worship. And we'll return in 3 days. Because he was told to take his son, his only beloved son, take him up on that mountain and offer him for a sacrifice. But he knew that God would bring that boy back down that mountain with him. But here's what happened. They got up that mountain. And he had Isaac strapped down, ready to offer him as a sacrifice. And God stayed his hand, and he looked behind him, and there was a ram caught in a thicket. Where'd that ram come from? How did it get there just like that? And he took that ram and put it in the stead of Isaac. That's the grace of God. And oh boy, it got dark in Egypt. Darker than it's ever been. It got midnight in Egypt. And God says, you all kill the Passover lamb. And those Passover, he says, kill the Passover lamb. There was 250,000 lambs slain that night. But God considered it just one lamb. And they eat that lamb and they had their clothes on, their feet on, shoes on their feet, ready to go. And God said, I'm going to pass through here at midnight and I'm going to kill the firstborn of everything in this place. But God said this, he says, but when I see that blood, I'm going to pass over you. And that's why God passes over us. He sees that blood. So the grace of God appeared in the Old Testament. But these were shadows. They were just pictures. The grace that Noah received, what's it like compared to the grace that we receive through our Lord Jesus Christ that appeared? He was saved in an ark. We're saved in Christ. Grace appeared to Noah. Grace came to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. What blessed grace that was showed to Abraham when he took that ram and he put it in Isaac's stead, started back down off that mountain. But what is that compared to the Lord Jesus Christ being our lamb that appeared to be our lamb, appeared to be our sacrifice, appeared to be the one to put in our place and to put in our stead, to take our place there? What is that compared to what grace that came to us in our Lord Jesus Christ? And what grace it was that caused God to pass over Israel through the blood of that lamb. But what is that to being justified freely by His grace through our Lord Jesus Christ? Shadows over here. Reality over here. Shadows there. We got the body. They had a type. We got the reality. And we've got the body. We got the reality. We got the taste, the grace of God in our Lord Jesus Christ. And oh my, and I'll tell you something else about grace. Grace, I'll tell you what, I thought, man, I'm going to wear these folks out with grace this morning, you know. But I don't know how you can do that. I'll tell you what, I've never been wore out with it, have you? You know, if that's all you wanted to teach about, that'd be fine with me. But grace taught us this, the grace our schoolmaster, grace taught us how sinners are saved. Grace taught us how God saves a sinner and how God saved us. Grace brings salvation. Don't look what it says for the grace of God that brings salvation. It brought it. It brings it. It brings it. Everybody else is telling folks, you know, go to church. Go to church. Go to church. Make a change. I remember years ago, you know, I had real long hair and a beard and people would tell me, boy, you need to cut your hair and you need to shave your beard and you need to start going to church. What good would that have done me? I'd just look different, but I'd still been the same person inside. And there's a fella came to me, a deacon of another church down home. And he talked to me he said, you act like you're the only people in the world that knows anything about the gospel and how God, you know, and know anything about anything. The way you preach it, nobody's saved but you folks. And I said, well, I can't help that. You know, I can't help what I preach, you know. And he was trying to tell me, you know, and he came to my office and he brought his Bible with me. And he went to this verse of Scripture and he says, there it says that God, the grace of God hath appeared to all men. I said, well, if you think that's what that means, I said, listen, me and you walk out of here right now. I said, there's a house right here, right across from the church. Right? I said, let's go over and knock on that door and ask if the grace of God's appeared to them. And I said, we'll go to the next one, we'll knock on the door and see if the grace of God's appeared to them. He said, oh, no, we don't want to do that. He said, we don't want to bother anybody. I said, that's what caused you to know that you're wrong about that. The grace of God, it brings salvation. And I tell you what, when grace comes and it appeared through our Lord Jesus Christ, it's the one that brings salvation. It comes to where you are. It comes and makes you understand everything that you need to be saved. It comes to make you understand that if God does anything for you at all, He's got to do it from start to finish. I mean, He teaches you that. And I'll tell you one thing He does. Once He teaches you that, He just keeps on teaching it over. Old Scott used to say, I keep repeating old Scott. Scott says, if it's worth telling once, it's worth repeating. Repetition, repetition, repetition. And I tell you, sin put out our eyes to where we couldn't see. Man is utterly and absolutely unable to contribute to his salvation. We were dead in trespasses and sin. Wasn't that what it says there in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 3 here of Titus? Oh, we was brawlers. We were disobedient, foolish, and living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward us appeared, toward man appeared. And you know, I tell you this about the grace of God. You keep this and look with me over in Acts chapter 18. And this grace that's our schoolmaster. Paul the Apostle said it this way. He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God. Everybody says, I am what I am by the grace of God. That Paul started out with grace. He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. We don't start out with I, we start out with Him. That's the difference between grace and the difference between works. Grace says, He did it. Grace came to me. I didn't come to grace. And that's what people used to say all the time. When did you come to grace? And that, you know, and I said, no, I didn't come to grace. Grace came to me. Grace came to where I was. And grace got to still come to where I am. Would you all agree with that? Got to have it. Just got to have it. But look, you know, and here in Acts 18:27, this is talking about Apollos, I believe. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him who, when he was come, now listen to this, helped them much which had believed. How'd they believe? Through grace. Huh? They had a great big church meeting one day in Acts 15. A bunch of Pharisees came in there and told them, fellas, says, you know, you can't be saved. Said, you accept Jesus. Yes, oh, yes, accept Jesus. But here's what you got to do. You've got to also be circumcised. You also got to keep the law of Moses. Oh, they weren't going to hear that. And you know what Peter stood up and said? Acts 15:11. He said, we believe, us Jews, me, Simon Peter the apostle, and James and the rest of us, we believe that we shall be saved through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, even as they, the Gentiles, were saved. If we're going to be saved, we're going to be saved through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, beloved, and I tell you, this grace taught us how sinners are saved. And oh, and I tell you that this grace that came through our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord's life, what a life our Lord lived. What a life. Everywhere He went, I've often wondered what it would have been like to actually been and heard our Lord Jesus Christ speak, to heard Him sit down and teach. How would you like to have been there when they brought that woman taken in adultery? And our Lord looked at him and He bent down and He stooped down and He wrote something in the ground. Then He got back up and said, you without sin, let Him cast the first stone. He got down and He wrote something else and He got back up. And there was only nobody left but Him and that woman. Him and that woman. And wouldn't you love to have been there that time? Oh my, to sit there and listen to our Lord Jesus Christ. But I tell you what, I have seen His life. I've seen His life. You know how I've seen it? By the grace of God. God taught me about the Lord Jesus Christ and His life. He taught me about His holy life, His sinless life, His righteous life, His obedient life. that He always pleased the Father. I mean, God taught me the Lord. I mean, I've seen the life of my Lord Jesus Christ. I've seen His life living for me. Every step He took a step that I couldn't take. And life He lived a life that I couldn't live. And oh, listen, I've seen His death. Grace taught me His death. That in His death, that death wasn't for Himself. He had no sin of His own. But bless His name, when He took our sin upon Himself, He came to be a sin offering. He came to be a sacrifice. He said, "My hour is now come." And we hung on that cross. He had sin on Him. And sin, wherever it's found, it must be punished. It must die. And God in sovereign grace and justice come down on His blessed Son and punished Him. Oh, how He punished Him. His wrath fell on Him and He consumed that wrath. And oh, God's justice punished Him, stuck it into His heart, and He died. But the last words He said on that cross, "It is finished." Done. Ooh, it was done. Oh, what was done? Everything that needed to be. Where's your sin at? I ain't got any. Where'd it go? Christ my Savior put it away by the sacrifice of Himself. And right now, He appears in the presence of God for us. Huh? And oh, I tell you, we know this grace that appeared, this grace is our schoolmaster. It taught us about the life and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, and this is the best of all. It raised him from the dead. And you know what that means for us? We're looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, what a day that's going to be. What a day. Because He was raised, this mortal must put on immortality. This corruption must put on incorruption. And then it'll be brought to pass that saying, "Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory?" Where's it at? Oh, bless His name. It's not the only world I'm going to live in. It's not the only thing, this flesh that I live in. It's not the only body I'm going to have. This sin, oh, one of these days, this old flesh will fall away. This old body will disappear. And God Himself will come with a shout, with the voice of an archangel. And the dead in Christ shall arise. And we'll meet the Lord in there. And this scripture says that we shall forever be with the Lord. That's what I want to go do. I want to go see Him. I want to go see Him. You say, "Well, we're going to get to have a great reunion up there." We'll know everybody there. We will. We'll know every person we've ever known. But I tell you what, every single one of us, it will not be walking around there looking for somebody we know. We're going to be interested in seeing one person, our Lord Jesus Christ. Our wives won't be our wives. Our fathers won't be our fathers. Our sisters won't be our sisters. Our brothers won't be our brothers in the flesh. We'll all be made new in Christ. And the only thing we'll be interested in is seeing Him. And when we all get there, and everybody's there, all the dead in Christ and all those in God knows where every piece of dust is of those whom He died. When we all get there, He's going to make us, he's going to have a table so big, so big. How can he have a table? Well, he's the Lord. If he created a world like this with just speaking, could you imagine what kind of table he's going to have and he's going to make us all sit down? And he's going to serve us a meal. We're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh, that just makes you, that just about makes you want to holler, don't it? And I'll tell you what I'm saying is this, that grace teaches us, the grace that has appeared, that grace that's our schoolmaster teaches us that we, all of our salvation is entirely outside ourselves. My salvation's entirely objective. My salvation was complete when our Lord Jesus Christ died, was buried, and resurrected. And I didn't know anything about it till somebody preached the gospel to me and the grace of God appeared to me. Huh? And oh, what grace does is teaches us that Christ did it all. Look down here in verse 14 of Titus. Grace teaches us that Christ did it all. Look what it says here. Who gave himself for us. Huh? Who was it that gave himself for us? It says the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's who gave himself. The great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, what did he do? He redeemed us. He redeemed us. He bought us. Paid our sin debt. He rescued us, relieved us, and paid all our debt. And look what it says here. And it also talks about us, who gave himself for us, to redeem us. I'm an us. I'm an us or a them. You know, you find God, he said he gave himself for them, gave himself for us. I'm a them us, an us them. You know, God always describes his people that way. But all says, and he says here that we are a peculiar people, particular people that he did. When it says all men here, the grace of God that hath appeared to all men, you know what that means? That means old men, young men. Older women, younger women. That means people that, servants, masters, all kinds of classes, all kinds of characters, that it only teaches. You see, he's the one that gave himself for us. And I tell you what, I've often tried to understand and thought about a lot where it says he gave himself. What is himself? What is himself? He gave himself. There's nobody, and I believe this, now, you know, if I'm wrong about this, you all forgive me. I don't care how much we love somebody in this world, how long we've been married to them, and how much we love, we cannot give them completely all of ourselves. There's something that we always hold back. We just don't have that ability. We cannot give all our personality, all our emotions, all our affections, all of our will. We cannot give ourselves completely and entirely to a person. There's something that we hold in reserve. We always hold in reserve. No matter even what. But that's one thing that our Lord Jesus Christ did. He gave himself. All that he is. All that made him him. All that made him holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, higher than the heavens. Him. Himself. It says in Philippians 2, he emptied himself. Emptied himself. And oh my, grace teaches us that Christ did it all. Oh, what a schoolmaster. What a schoolmaster. And look what else it is. It teaches us that grace is effectual. It says there that it brought salvation and it redeemed us. What Christ came to do, He did. It says He, the grace of God that bringeth salvation. You know, grace is actually effectual. It actually redeemed us. It's not something that God tries to do. That's just what an awful thing. You know, when it says there, teaching us to deny all ungodliness. Now, you know what ungodliness in my mind is when I think of that? Denying God. It's an ungodly thing to deny God. It's an ungodly thing. You know, whenever you bring anything about a human being in this equation of salvation, that's ungodliness. That's ungodliness. It's being without God. And we deny anything that does not give all the God all the glory. We deny that. We resist that. We're not going to have anything to do with that. We refuse to have anything to do with anything and support anything. You know, there's all kinds of things at home that we could support. But the thing is that they do that so that they can get all the glory for it. I'm not going to support anything just because it's got Jesus' name attached to it. I'm not going to support anything that denies the grace of God and denies God in getting all the glory. I'm not going to support that. I'm not going to support anything that attributes anything that anybody does to anything they do. That's what it says, denying all ungodliness. I deny that I had anything to do with this. I deny that if a man comes along and starts telling me about you, and that's, I folks, and this happened, you know, and you all, you've had this happen to you. You've talked to people where you work, and people come around you, and you see people, and they all go to church somewhere. Almost everybody you work with goes to church somewhere. And so when you're talking to them, all they talk about is how much they attend church and all the prayers they pray and all of that. And they talk about what they're doing. And you deny that. You say, I don't believe that. I don't agree with that. That's not the way it is. It don't mean going out here and living like hell. That's not what I don't think that's what that means. I'm sure it has some kind of application to that. But I'll tell y'all, we put an article in the newspaper and have for years and years, and I got this gym that I go to and been working out there for years and years, and I was there one time, and there's an older fellow there and his wife, and we got to talking, and he told me the church he went to and the Baptist church he went to, and told all that there was the meetings they had and all the souls that they had won, how many they got converted that last weekend and all that. And I stand there and he said, what are you doing? I said, I pastor a church. He said, oh, you do? You're a Christian too? And I said, yeah. He said, where are you pastor at? I said, over here at Lantana Grace Church, right over here on Lantana Road. He hollered at his wife. She was all the way in the back of the building. She said, honey, this is that man. This is that fellow right here. This is the one putting all that stuff in the paper. That's what he done. They knew the difference just like that quick. And they just quit talking. They know the difference. They know that fellow, what he's saying, is not what I'm saying. He believes something different than I believe. And you know what does that? Grace is our schoolmaster. And you know who made us to differ? Grace. This grace taught us that the only difference between us and them is God's blessed grace. He made us to differ. If God hadn't made me to differ, I'd still be a tongue-speaking, jump-benching Pentecostal. That's what I'd be. Or I'd be a Catholic, a free will Baptist, or I'd be in the world. But the last place I'd be, had not grace been my schoolmaster, I would not be right here had not grace been my schoolmaster. Ain't that right? And oh, let us never, ever forget that. So grace is effectual. And look what it says there. It says it, He says that He came to purify unto Himself, in verse 14, a peculiar people. You know what that word peculiar means? A possession. We're God's possession. Christ gave Himself for us, and He possesses us. We belong to Him, lock, stock, and barrel. I love the fact that I'm Christ. I love the fact that He has the power and He makes me willing. I love the truth that He Himself gave Himself, and I love the truth that all I have to look to in this world is Him and Him alone. And oh, such peace, such comfort, such assurance. You know, every one of you fellas has got a recliner at home. Every one of you does, don't you? All you men has a recliner at home. And when you go home this afternoon, you'll go home and eat, and you'll lay down in your recliner, and you'll watch football, or you'll go to sleep. And you'll rest, you'll relax in that thing. Well, that's, you repose there. But what we do as believers, we repose our soul in the Lord Jesus Christ. If I was standing on the highest mountain, and my salvation depended on Christ and Christ alone, I could fall back just like that and know that He'd catch me. That there He is, He's for me. That there's, I mean, He'd catch me. He has caught me. He's caught me. I'm His and He is mine. Well, beloved, I'm going to let that go at that. I tell you what, I was going to say a few more things about some other things here, but man, we don't want to mess, you know. I was telling them last night, I said, age will teach you, you know, just because you got it on paper, you don't have to say it. You know, and like, and again, like Scott used to say, he said, I've seen several places where he could have quit. but I tell you what, we understand, and God, grace is taught. Grace is our schoolmaster, the grace of God that bringeth salvation, effectual salvation, appeared. It taught us something. It taught us that Christ did it all. He gave Himself for us. And we're a particular people, a peculiar people. And it taught us, the grace of God is our schoolmaster. And I tell you what, and that's what we're doing. There ain't no graduates. There ain't no graduates in this school of grace, are there? There ain't no masters of divinity, no doctors of divinity. I quit, but I tell you one other thing for a stop. There was a fella called one time years ago, and he said, is this Dr. Bell? And I thought it was one of my preacher buddies. And I said, yes, it is. And then the next voice said, was you the one who took out my gallbladder? And I said, no. So that's the Dr. Bell. And I met him later, and I told him that story. But I said, no, that wasn't me. I said, I'm just acting a fool, Well, thank you all for being so attentive, being so gracious. Been absolutely a delight to be here with you. Oh, I appreciate it so much. Let me turn this off too. All right.